Hi, this is Rudolf Campos. This is my second podcast with our special guest, R. Michael Gordon. Today we're going to talk about two of his books. And first off, let me welcome him. R. Michael Gordon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back again, Rudolf.
The name of the book that we're going to cover that you've written is The Infamous Burke and Hare, Serial Killers and Resurrectionists of 19th Century Edinburgh. So tell us about the book. Who was Burke and Hare? Who were Burke and Hare?
Well, Burke and Hare, 1828 Edinburgh, Scotland. They were essentially your basic, and there's plenty of them out there. They were grave robbers. They were body snatchers. And they were supplying bodies to the doctors, the surgeons in Edinburgh, Scotland. But what makes them sort of above the grade, as it were, from your standard body snatchers, they were also serial killers. They were a team of serial killers. And basically, like any other body snatcher, they were supplying the market, and they had the supply. And apparently, there was not enough supply to meet the demand. So both Burke and Hare got together and said, well, we can supply fresher product. We'll just have to go kill people. Uh-huh. And when you've got friends and neighbors that need to be dispatched, it was Burke and Hare. And they were the guys who brought in the freshest product. And they brought them to the doctor, and one of the most famous doctors at the time was Dr. Knox, and he was probably the best surgical instructor, at least at the time. Edinburgh, Scotland was a center of training for surgeons. They were coming from America. In fact, Washington's surgeon himself went across to get his surgical training in Edinburgh, Scotland. Wow. So if you were at Edinburgh, you were doing your work properly, and you were properly trained. But that meant that you needed a lot of bodies, because surgical training, you need to have bodies to do surgical training on. Well, Dr. Knox, he was one of the best surgical instructors, and normally you would have 20, 30, 40 students. Dr. Knox had upwards of 300. Oh. So he was a busy surgeon. Now, Dr. Knox, like essentially all the doctors there were doing surgical training, they had a bit of a dark side, because they didn't really care where the bodies came from, and essentially neither did Dr. Knox.
Okay.
So here you've got Burke and Hare. You need to supply a body. They would knock off one, very fresh. The fresher the body, the better the training goes as far as surgical. And docs didn't really care where it came from, as long as that he gave them 10 pounds. And see you boys later. Bring it out the back door, and that's all they wanted to know about.
So these were 10 Scottish pounds in what year was this?
1828, Edinburgh, Scotland.
Okay.
And the bottom line is, Knox didn't do anything different than anybody else did. I mean, he was a bit corrupt, if you will. It was against the law to body snatch, obviously.
Okay.
But sort of a wink and a nod, as they say. And nobody put too much problem, as long as you didn't cause too many problems. Well, there were problems in the bodies, because when you dock them out of the grave, the body wasn't worth any value.
Okay.
But you couldn't take any of the clothing, couldn't take any of the rings or anything was there, because that would get you become a body yourself.
So I'd have to leave all the clothing and jewelry behind, but I could take the body.
That's correct. The body had no value as far as the government was concerned.
And if I took the clothing, you said?
You would be looking at a fence that might get you executed.
Okay.
And then, of course, you're donating your own body to the surgical schools at that time.
So it's kind of a variation of the leave the gun, take the cannoli.
There you go. Exactly.
Okay.
And if you want to know what most of those body snatchers look like, if you think your basic ghoul that you've seen on TV and black and white TV and late night movies, a lot of them actually look that way.
Wow.
Burke and Hare were a little bit less ghoulish, but they were still, again, a team of serial killers.
Okay, I got to ask.
Okay.
How did you hear about these guys?
Well, actually, as a child, well, you know, 10 or 11, I lived in London and in England. I was there for a couple of years for school. I went over there with my parents. We moved to England. And basically, every single child in England and Scotland, British Isles, knows Burke and Hare. And the reason why they know Burke and Hare is because Burke and Hare's case was very well known. It changed British law as far as body snatching and what surgeons could use. And in the end, one of them survived and one of them did not. One was executed.
Mm.
Well, the one that survived ended up being a blind beggar in London 30, 40 some odd years later.
Wow.
So mothers would point to that gentleman, said, there he is. He's going to get you at night unless you behave yourself. Go to bed now. So every child in England knew exactly who Burke and Hare was.
Mm.
And no one in America knows who Burke and Hare is. There are very few people.
I'm one of them.
Oh, there you go. But like I said, very well known in all of Great Britain.
Okay, so I have to ask. I'm living in 1828, you said?
Edinburgh, Scotland,
Edinburgh,
yes.
Scotland, and my brother-in-law is becoming a real pain in the, you know what?
Exactly.
What would I do? Would I go find these guys? Obviously, I'm not going to ask for a business card.
No, they didn't really have a business card. They were known to be grave robbers and body snatchers because they visited the same pubs that all the rest of the guys.
Okay.
So it's like you go to a cop bar.
Right.
Well, these guys would go to a grave robber bar.
They had their own bar?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Okay. You had to be part of the group. Okay. Everybody was trying to steal bodies from everybody else.
Okay.
So you know who to go to. I mean, the guy down the street knew this is where the grave robbers are.
Right.
So here's a bar. You have Burke and Hare sitting there. And if you happen to be supplying them, which really didn't happen, but if you happen to be supplying them, you'd get the guy drunk because nobody had any money back then.
Right.
So if they get kind of oozy, well, let me bring you back to our place and we'll have you sit you down. You know, but here's a little more booze. Are you feeling okay? He's unconscious. Well, okay, now he becomes a product.
Yikes.
So we'll suffocate him or we'll drown him. But you can't put any marks on the body. This has to look natural.
Right.
Now, Knox and the guys, they can take a body, but if he's got a bullet hole in him or he's got an arrow sticking out of him.
Not good.
Not good. So, okay, this is a murder. Sorry, guys. We can't take this one. Please go away.
So most of these guys were being either suffocated or strangled?
That's correct.
Strangled?
No, not really strangled, because that leaves a mark.
Okay, gotcha.
But you're basically drowning them, or you're suffocating them. And when the guy's drunk, I mean, it's kind of easy.
Okay.
And that's how they did it. The problem was, they started killing a lot faster than all the rest of the people were bringing in bodies. And they were beginning to get a little cocky, because they were killing relatives, or neighbors, or people who were known.
Okay.
Like there was a gentleman who was basically an imbecile named Daff Jamie.
Okay.
And Daff Jamie was a very nice young man. He's about 18, 20 years old. Everybody knew him. You gave him a few pennies here. He's an okay guy. Well, one night, he's out there having drinks with Burke and Hare. And they're looking at each other and saying, listen, you know, we need a body here. And this Dr. Knox needs a little body. Daff Jamie's available. Why don't we, invite him over for a drink?
Oh, boy.
Well, it was his last drink. And they basically delivered. Now, Knox might have been upper crust as far as Edinburgh society is concerned. He knew all the basic writers and poets and all this good stuff, and he knew all the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question of whether he knew Daff Jamie, who he was. But Knox needed a body. Doesn't look like it looked murder to me. Here's your few pounds. Here's your few quid. Drop him off. Now, what he did do, though, is he operated on him the very next day. In his students were watching it,
right?
So he could disfigure the body, so nobody would know this was Daff Jamie, and he did that a couple of times, and one of them was actually a girlfriend, believe it or not, of one of the students.
Oh wow!
Girlfriend is kind of a loose word, a woman he was meeting for exchange of coin, so to speak.
Okay.
But they were friends, and she ends up on the table one time. And she was used as an experiment, of course, for teaching surgical trade. And the guy is in the room watching this. Well, he can't say anything.
Awkward moment.
Awkward moment. Because here's the famous Dr. Knox. He is number one on the list of doctors. How's he going to say, well, this person, I know this person. Where'd she come from? Well, she must have slipped, fell down, whatever. Well, she suffocated, whatever. So he really didn't say anything.
Okay.
And when you start getting cocky and you're Burke and Hare and you don't have more than a few pennies, all of a sudden you're buying drinks for the entire house, and all of a sudden you're buying clothes that you shouldn't be able to afford,
right?
That's like a bleeding sore thumb. You can see it pretty quickly.
Sure.
And that's basically what happened to Burke and Hare.
So I'm assuming these guys got caught.
Yes, they did. They finally got too far. They took too many bodies too quickly, and they started killing their relatives. And when a relative comes to visit, and all of a sudden the other relative said, where'd this person go? And they can't give an explanation. Well, then the authorities come over because somebody was busy screaming murder. And
right.
When you've got a body in your room, you can't explain it. It's time to put on the cuffs.
Tough day for the mother-in-law, right?
It was indeed, but it was her last day.
Okay.
So Burke and Hare were caught by the constabulary. But see, here's the problem with that. They didn't have any direct evidence that these two body snatchers were actually killers. They were known to be in the body snatching business, so having a corpse wasn't anything new. So here you have William Burke and William Hare and their two girlfriends, and you've got four suspects. So the folks in charge knew that they had no physical evidence to try these people. So either Burke or Hare were going to get the king's warrant.
Which was?
You were going to testify against the other guy, and you don't get hung. Whoa. So which one of you guys want to take the deal? Okay. One of them took the deal, one of them didn't.
Okay. So would I feel safe now being able to go to Edinburgh and not feel like I'm going to get cracked over the head and wind up on some coroner's table?
In other words, I think you can go there and do a little grave robbing. No. That law, this case in 1828 Scotland, basically changed the law. It made it illegal to have bodies brought in from, wherever they can bring them in. What basically happened was that a new law was written that the only people that can be used, any corpses that can be used for this particular type of surgical work, was either executed criminals,
mm-hmm.
or someone who died from disease.
Oh.
And it was very well registered at that point. Now, it went from extremely loose to mm-hmm. wherever the bodies come from to being very well regimented. And that's why Burke and Hare case is known, because it changed British law, essentially, from 1828.
Very good.
And what's really interesting to me is that one of these guys, the Burke and Hare case, one of them got away, ended up being a blind beggar in London, and the other one became the first criminal to be used as an experiment for the surgeons by that new law, even before it was put into effect. So basically, this guy, one of the Burke and Hare people, ended up being on the table for a surgical specimen, but it wasn't Dr. Knox who got the body. It was another guy.
So Dr. Knox walked away scot-free.
He did indeed. Well, he walked away scot-free as far as being criminally charged, but he was getting less and less and less students. And basically, you got a bunch of guys who do the same thing Dr. Knox did, but basically holding him up and say, well, he did something wrong, but we're gonna exonerate him, but, well, he's no longer part of our upper crust thing.
Understood.
But like I said, they were still doing the same thing he was doing. They never stopped until the law came in.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. R. Michael Gordon. The name of the book, again, is The Infamous Burke and Hare, Serial Killers and Resurrectionists of 19th Century Edinburgh. You can find the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. There's actually a great list of companies that carry the book. If you cannot find the book anywhere, including your bookstores, local bookstores, I'm attaching the link underneath this video podcast. Please feel free to just click the link. It'll take you straight to where you can purchase the book directly. If you'd like to buy a autographed copy of the book, I'm even including a link for you. Thank you again, Michael. I do want to talk about one more book with you. Again, this is Rudolph Campos. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. If you have any great comments, positive or otherwise, I've left the comments boxes open for you. If you like it, I'd appreciate it if you click the like button. Again, thank you again, R. Michael Gordon.
My pleasure.
It's been an honor, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, and I'll talk to you very soon on our next podcast. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.